Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. It's 9 o'clock, it's a Saturday. I'm live in my hotel room in LA, and I couldn't wait to get back to the UK. I needed to do this interview now because I have with me today somebody I've interviewed before, somebody I've interviewed more than once, somebody who I think is one of the greatest creators of magic in the world today, somebody who has been known up until this point as a card guy, comes up with incredible card material, very clever methods. You know, his Magic Monthly is super popular, but now he's setting the mentalism world on fire. He's got some of the biggest mentalists in the world doing backflips, talking about his newest release, which has been the most anticipated release probably in the last decade. It's coming out in a couple of days' time, and I wanted to get him onto the channel to talk all about it. I am, of course, talking about the legend himself, the one and only Christian Grace. How you doing, Christian?
Honestly, I'm doing 10 times better. That was such a nice introduction. You've just perked me up.
You set the magic world on fire. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about this. You came out of nowhere. You know, you were the face of Vanishing Ink. Every trick that you bought out through Vanishing Ink, level one, switch one, miracle one, a huge seller for Vanishing Ink. And then you went to Card Shark, and you bought a bunch of stuff out through Card Shark, and all of those were huge sellers as well. While you were doing all of this.
And Illusionist.
I forgot about Illusionist. Yeah, You bought a bunch of stuff out through Illusionist, which did really well. And then while you were doing all of that, you created the most successful membership platform that there is out there, where you are constantly producing and innovating really clever, practical card material. You change the game. You change the game in magic. And then just when everyone thinks, right, there's nothing else Christian can do, you then decide to go, well, you know what, let's give mentalism a crack. And you've got people like Sean Farquhar doing somersaults about this. You know, all people could talk about at Magic Live, and I know I was there, all people could talk about was Enigma.
But it's because I've been performing it so much, and I think that's what's important to address. This past year has been great for conventions, obviously post, you know, the last few years, the pandemic and all of that stuff. You know, it's nice to get together again with magicians, and it just so happens that it's the perfect place to refine magic, performing relentlessly on people that know about methods, and to kind of work around it in such a way as to just refine this beautiful system in the way I have. So it's nice for people like that to have the feedback, you know.
Well, 2 points on that. I remember seeing this at the session in January, very early on. This year, you showed me, and you took me to one side, and you said, hey, I want to show you something really cool. I'm like, yeah, of course. And then you blew me away with it. And I remember you saying at the time, this is a really early prototype. It's going to get better. And I remember turning around to you and saying, I don't see how it can get much better, Christian. You just legit, real. So I know how long you've been working on it and how long you've been refining it. And I read somewhere, somebody saying this is the most hype trick of the last decade. And I don't know if it's hyped. I think it's what you said. You've been performing it. You haven't done the hype.
It's quite funny. Honestly, I've read comments and things like, oh, this marketing campaign. I haven't spent a penny on marketing. I'm happy to say that I've just literally performed it as much as I can. And thankfully, based on people's impressions of it, and potentially also when I've explored, because I've been quite open with regards to the method, to the people I've shown it with. Like at the session, I showed you the method. I didn't perform it. I showed it to you because I wanted you to see how beautiful it is, and how different it is, and how useful it can be. Because this is a multifaceted system, I would describe it as. There's lots of different elements which almost allow the performer to kind of jazz their way to the finish line, but in a very simple way, a reliable way. because the system is a structure. So it's funny that people think I've, you know, this marketing campaign thing is the perception of it, because really it's just a case of performing it to people, giving them that feeling of wonder, and then them expressing how they feel about it. And I don't know, people being annoyed at people getting attention in the industry, which is not, you know, I'm not, I don't create to just put magic out. I love magic, as you know, and it, I do it for the love of it. And that's the first and foremost approach that I take. So I'm just hoping that people love it as much as me, and I'm sure they will.
I'm sure. Yeah. And, you know, something that I need to add about that is, like you say, we've got about 40 pages on the Magic Cafe at this point.
And because it's,
that's the point that I'm going to make. Hmm. You've not like been on the Magic Cafe once.
Don't have an account.
These people are saying it's hyped. It's because we live in a digital age.
Yes.
And people are watching this effect. You're performing it to everybody because you're so confident in it and you're so good at it. You're performing it to everybody. They're then posting on various different places. And it's almost like Chinese whispers. It's getting bigger and it's getting bigger and it's getting bigger. But I just think it's amazing that there's all of this buzz about a product and you haven't even put a trailer up yet.
Exactly. Yeah, that comes to, well, so you're probably putting this out at the weekend. So we're pre-recording. So it's just to give people context, this is the day that I'm launching. And thank goodness to you for being up so early, because I know you're on a different time frame where you are. So it's exciting. Yeah, I'm putting out today and I haven't released the trailer. It's going up live. It's premiering 8 p.m. on the 4th, which, guys, you'll find on my YouTube channel. So yeah, it's really exciting. They get to see exactly what this thing is and what it can do. And there's many full performances also on the website. So I've put full performances of the different styles that you can perform it in. Because this isn't something you can just do live. You can actually do this over Zoom, which is why I actually wanted to do this with you. Because I think, you know, it'd be a good opportunity to show you this thing.
You can do it over Zoom.
Did you not know that?
I don't see how you could.
Well, because you've seen that.
Because No.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, hang on. I've got a ton of questions.
Yeah, all right.
We're going to take those questions. We're going to put them over here. I'm sticking a massive pin in it. No, I can't see how this can be done over Zoom, Christian.
Okay.
Get here, filming this over Zoom. I want your money where your mouth is. But can you do this?
No, I'm very happy to. I had full intention to show you anyway. I've done this countless times on people over Zoom this past year, and
I don't understand how it would work.
Well, there are two ways. Let me attempt one. Before I do this, I want to ask you: would you say, with regards to spelling and visualizing words, that you feel comfortable spelling and things like that?
Yeah, no problem.
Great, because I want you to feel comfortable as we do this, and this is quite a simple task, really. I want you to think of a word that represents something physical in our universe. So this can be a man-made thing, it could be a natural thing, it could be a living thing. But to be honest, I want this word to be quite a long word because it's more challenging for me. So rather than just cat, hat, mat, go with something that represents a physical thing.
Got it.
Something that I'd recognize as well. Okay? You got something. Yep. So you can visualize this thing to the best of your ability. And this is a word that you can comfortably spell.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're ready to begin. Now, I want you to imagine right now in front of you, a bit like Minority Report, there's an invisible screen with the whole alphabet. You see the whole alphabet from A to Z, but it's not in order. You're going to see these letters jumbled up, a bit like alphabet spaghetti when you pour them out the tin. Okay, so only you can see these letters and where they are. Now, without mouthing these letters or saying anything out loud, all I want you to do is spell the word by just touching each letter you see. And take your time doing this because I want you to visualize the shape of each letter. And I do want you to see each letter as a capital letter. Okay. So take your time. So, for example, let's say you were thinking of a safety pin, just as an example. You would touch an S, an A, and you would continue just seeing each letter as you spell this thing out. I'm going to observe you, and then later on I'll see if I can make some notes based on what I feel and see. So take your time.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, so this, I know this sounds impossible because you're miles apart, but I was starting to see certain shapes as you were tapping. And I just want to check a few things. You went past a vowel, I think, at the beginning. It was in the second position or third position.
Yes, it was in the second position. Yes.
Yeah, most people will think, well, most words have vowels in the second position. It's nothing to do with that. I genuinely saw something. I just want to double check this. Could you touch that second letter for me? Just keep your hand nice and still. Visualize this letter as a capital letter for me. Okay, good. I think I know what that is. Okay, so I'm going to remember these things. From this position, could you just continue to spell the word and just stop at the next vowel for me? Okay, you stop there. So see this letter nice and clearly. I think I've got this. Okay, go back one letter, please. See that as a capital letter. Okay, now go back to the first letter of the word. I think I'm seeing what you're seeing. Are you seeing this as a capital as well, yeah?
Yes.
You're seeing any straight lines in this letter, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you seeing curves?
Yes.
I thought so. So this is like a mixture of the two. Could you just imagine the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, the diagonals, if there are any? And I must be honest, my head's going wild. There's like 924 different things going around my head right now. But I want to lead you to a specific letter before I commit to this. So could you go back to that third letter? This is the last thing I'll check, because I think I know exactly what you're thinking, by the way. With this letter, could you just name the first word that spells with this letter? Any
nightmare.
Nightmare. So the word nightmare contains this letter somewhere, right?
Yes.
Nightmare. Interesting. You could have said anything. Nightmare. What does this mean? Sometimes people do things that are associative. Sometimes it's disassociative. This is quite an interesting one. A nightmare would suggest something that's kind of rough and scary, right? So this object that you're thinking of, and I feel you are thinking of an object, this is something you can hold, isn't it? I'm starting to see, and would it make sense that this thing has spikes on it for some reason? Like, this is why I'm getting a sense with this. Does that make sense? Yeah, and also, by the way, I just want to clarify, I genuinely was seeing these letters and I put these pieces together. And the beautiful thing is the third letter of the word I have in my mind is an N. And I think the word nightmare, you were thinking of the first letter, the N was the letter you were focusing on, wasn't it? Yeah, exactly. And it could have been any of those letters. So, you know, that just confirms it for me that I think I genuinely have read exactly what this thing is. So, listen, I'm totally committed. There is absolutely no two ways about it. And this isn't CGI, just to point out, there's no weird kind of magic camera tricks. I won't let this leave the site. But for the very first time, out of all the things you could have imagined in the universe, what was the thing that you had in mind?
It was a pineapple.
Right. And that makes sense because it's something you can hold and it has spikes on it, which is why the nightmare thing did it for me. So here we go.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Isn't it fun?
Insane.
Oh, my God.
Insane. That's stupid.
Thank you.
That's so good. That's so good. That right there is why every mentalist is going crazy. And I now see how you can do it over Zoom. And that's so clever.
And I'll be honest with you, like, I don't feel I added much flavor to that performance. I think, you know, as a magician to a magician, going through the motions and just ticking the boxes of what's required to get the output is what's important here. But you can see how you can play this presentation as either a psychological one or potentially, a psychic one. You know, for those people that feel like they want to present it as some kind of invisible thing that can't be explained, I like to take the route of like genuinely reading each letter and try and embellish it slightly. But hopefully people will watch that and see the versatility of how streamlined the process is.
You know, I mean, I do a lot. I don't do virtual shows as much these days, but I do have client phone calls over Zoom. And so many times they'll say, hey, can you show me a trick? And I'm like, yeah, and I'll do something. That's the perfect trick for Zoom. That's the perfect. Perfect. I mean, obviously you've been doing it for the last year in real life, but the fact that you've also worked
I do this version in real life as well, because as you would have witnessed at the session, one of the versions involves a beautiful kind of Well, it's a touching method. So you touch fingertips with a spectator and you get them to visualize each letter the same way as we did here, silently. And for the most part, nothing said out loud. But as some people who are familiar with mentalism might have seen in the performance, there are little additional things that you might add to get to the place where you need to be. But there's a clever way in the routining to make it feel as though it gives information that makes sense to the performer. And it's down to the performer to be able to make it believable. So hopefully people can pick up on that and enjoy it as well.
It's great. It's fantastic. Let me ask you a few questions that I've got, if you don't mind.
That's one here, and I can't wait to answer them.
So this is the first question. Is there a particular reason, you know, we talked at the very beginning of the interview, you've released so much magic with Card Sharp, Vanishing Ink, Illusionist. Is there a particular reason you decided to go on your own with this release? Because, I mean, you had a beautiful booth at Magic Live. It had Enigma, you know, and you've got the website specifically just for this. And I imagine that with the reputation that you have, you could create some sort of bidding war with this thing. Is there a particular reason why you decided to do this yourself?
I think the best way to answer that is to just be quite upfront with the fact that when I developed the idea and I had to transition turning this idea into a physical thing that I had planned, I invested a lot of money into it. And I thought there's a certain amount sort of the way down the path that you go where you realize you've invested so much in something that it's hard to make a deal with other people if there's percentages discussed that don't seem favorable for the amount of love and attention that you've given this thing. In some cases with products that are in their kind of infancy, you can approach a company and they can do the kind of cash injection and, you know, time, and they can employ people to do the development of that thing. Whereas this is something I've been doing, you know, this past year. You know, pretty much every single day I've worked on this. So, and I put so much money into this. Oh my God. But it's been worth every penny because, of course, the proof is in the pudding and the system's functional. I think people have to realize, like, in the genesis of an idea, you don't know whether it's going to work or, you know what I mean? You have to implement it to then know. And in doing that and taking this journey, I've noticed so many amazing patterns. Within, you know, the system has told me the patterns that exist, and I've exploited those patterns as further features that allow us to decipher words secretly. Now, I'm saying all this, obviously, after the trailer's gone out, so people are going to know that it's an app.
Yeah.
So basically, if there's any specific questions on that front.
But it is an app, but it's, you know, me and Lloyd Barnes, I know you know Lloyd really well. We talked about, not Enigma, but we talked about apps a few months ago.
Yeah.
And he said that his favorite use of an app is when it doesn't feel like an app is in play. Yeah, like he doesn't like it when an app is like, hey, you pick the seven of diamonds. Look, I've got a picture of a pack of cards and here's rising up the seven of diamonds. Or look, I'm going to pull a card out of the phone because it looks like there's obviously technology or an app involved. Right. His favorite use of an app. And I bring Lloyd up because, you know, he's had more experience with apps than most people I know. His favorite use of an app is when it doesn't feel like an app is even in play. Yeah. And that's what we have here, because I know you saying it's an app is going to scare people, because there are a certain amount of people that go, oh, it's an app. I don't like using apps. It's not something that I want to use. But you don't even feel like an app's in play with this product, right?
So during that performance just there, I had my hope. This is now open. The app is running. So it's happening right now. Okay. And I'm using a hands-off method because I'm in a good environment for that. It's pretty quiet in here, so I can use a voice method that's compatible with the app. But there are various ways of inputting the secret information and peeking the secret information. But you're absolutely right. I've designed this in such a way so as not to make the phone, you know, the centric part of the routine. It's not phone centric. It's not like you take out your phone and say, pick a word from a list. As far as the person's concerned, they have a free choice of, you know, a word, or at least you can reframe it like that later, even though I secretly push you into a realm of thinking of something physical as opposed to a verb or et cetera, which helps, obviously, secretly helps the system. it doesn't feel like that. It feels like they think of any word and it feels like everything's mostly done in silence, which is kind of refreshing if you think about progressive anagrams and different methods of like writing things down and peaking it. This has a different flavor to it because the person who is experiencing it has a free choice of thinking of something, and then you're able to show that person what they're thinking before they say it out loud in most cases. And that is what is beautiful about the system, because ultimately they're going to describe it or remember it as he literally read what word I was thinking of. You're not taking out a book and saying flick through and or stop on this page, and you know, you're not doing any of that. It feels as free as it can. And I've built multiple systems into this that allow you to navigate any situation. For example, let's say you're performing on someone who doesn't feel comfortable spelling. And that's why I always ask it at the beginning of a performance, because had you have said, oh, I'm unsure about spelling, I would have asked you potentially in that instance to Google a word and that you think of just to see the spelling. But that's only a specific thing, because if we look at someone who isn't able to visualize letters or has trouble with that, there's a mode built in there that allows you to still perform the effect without having to do any of the process. Is a separate app, by the way, that I'm planning. So Enigma owners are having access to this feature, which is just totally free within the app. So,
but it is a separate app that you're going to bring out. I haven't got Enigma. But if you have got Enigma, you'll get it as part of Enigma.
It's in there already. It's a system that I've built, because there's multiple systems.
I want to ask you about that, though, because I'm going to be honest with you, Christian, completely honest. I had a question on my Q&A, and I haven't got this yet, but you know I'm going to be getting it and I'm going to review it. I had a question on a Q&A last week, and somebody said, what do you think of Enigma? And I said, look, I've seen it performed multiple times. I think Christian's a genius. I don't know how you could have locked me in a room for a year and said, this is what we want you to achieve. And I wouldn't have even come up with a first clue of how to do it. Like, you're a genius. That's not even in question.
I don't know.
However,
about you.
I said, I don't think I would do it, because predominantly when I perform close up, I'm in a situation where I'm doing strolling or I'm doing like champagne reception at a wedding. People are being pulled off for their photos, or I'm doing I've got to hit them hard, hit them quick. My job is to get around 150 people in an hour and a half, and the word you just described there, the word you use, process, there is a lot of that's process it. Now it doesn't feel like process,
no, but I'll tell you what it is. It's attention. It requires attention and that kind of connection. And
that's why I don't think I'd be able to do it in a lot of environments. I'm definitely going to have it on my phone when I'm in a social situation, yes, but in a gig. No, you just think there's another mode? You just said there's another thing here?
Yeah, there is. I don't know if I want to express what this thing is, but it would be suitable. So I'll name what it is. It's called fallback mode. And I call it fallback mode because it's essentially something to fall back on. And it's for those specific instances where you have less than a minute to show someone something, or where someone says they're dyslexic and you say, don't worry about it. It's a visualization thing. Just think of something and we'll still give it a go. So you can perform this particular mode. And essentially you can do it as a spectator, as mind reader effect, where you commit to something like an image of something, and they're able to pick up on what that image is, which is a really fun thing to do. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a separate app. As a separate app, it's going to be called Sam, because it's called Spectator as Mind Reader. And there's another reason. But anyway, so Sam is the name of the separate app. But yeah, it's called Fallback Mode. And I would suggest that type of an effect for a walk around if you're doing it, if you need to do something a bit more snappy. Having said that, though, I'm not doing this to crowbar this trick into that situation. I'd like to be, you know, totally upfront that this is a new tool, a new system to be able to make mind reading feel different and feel more interesting in the ways that I feel it should be, you know. So just off the bat, by making someone realize they're freely thinking of a word and they're not saying much out loud, And just the credibility and the commitment of your performance making that thing work with the addition of this secret tool is enough for me for it to be, you know, up there. It's not, I'm not saying I'm creating this thing because I want to perform it at every close-up gig. No, this is something you want to perform one-on-one with someone that you want to leave completely astonished.
But you, a lot of the material that you publish on Magic Monthly is like that. A lot of the stuff that you do is, you know, you're sitting down, you're doing this incredible card routine. Mm. It's not necessarily the card routine that you would do in a gigging situation, but it's the thing that you want to do when you're sitting down with somebody and you really want to fuck them up, you know. And that's,
yeah. Well, I like tools. I like principles. I like these methods, you see. It's kind of like the exploration of methods and combination of methods and things like that that make this thing work and make it as beautiful as I think it is. Like you said, I was at Magic Live, so I got to perform this a lot and obviously sell or privately pre-sell this. So we have a Facebook community. There's 150-odd people in there already sharing their ideas, including like Doug McKenzie and Michael Murray and people I respect who actually understand the beauty of this system. So what I want to address is just that people have to understand that this isn't a trick that's going to come and go. This is a system that is going to be taken forward by the community. And the longevity of this is beautiful because we built a server essentially that contains the words that people would think of. And it's our ability, we have the ability to analyze that data over a longer period of time and know exactly what words come up in certain regions, what people think of more than other things, some things that people would never say, some things they always say. So this is also an interesting thing because we're able to analyze how people think in that respect. It's kind of like a, I don't know, there's a word for it that I haven't managed to find. It's like a survey. It's market research on what people think and how they think, you know. Mm. So over time, with this kind of insight, we're able to front end our performances knowingly, like throwing out things that we know people would think of more than other things and get lucky on those instances, right? Because if you know you'd perform this 10 times and three people always think of a bottle because you say a certain script, you know, like my original script with the hands touching, for example, I mentioned you can go off somewhere and grab something and you don't have to be here. You could be at home, right? You could imagine going into the bedroom, picking up a pillow. You could imagine going to your friend's house, into the study, picking up a pen or a pencil or, I don't know, a cigarette. So this is the kind of scripting I use. And 80% of the time, that scripting puts the person in a kitchen.
Wow.
The other 20% is the living room. So items tend to come up more than others based on how we speak, and we're able to analyze that by performing this in this way. So I know it sounds a little bit heavy and some people might find it dry, but I find it absolutely fascinating. And I think
I think you are right. It is a principle. It really, it's kind of, you know, I think that a lot of people are going to take this and run with it and go in different directions. Like how many different variations have we seen of the one ahead principle or the multiple out principle or the progressive anagram? And that this is that same sort of thing. You're giving people a tool that they're going to be able to literally take and adapt in any way that they want to see, which is amazing.
That's the idea, man. And there's so many multiple ways of performing it, which if you guys are interested to check out the website, enigmaofthemind.com. Since launch, there's full performances there, and each of the performances are performed in a different style because of the ways in which the system's used. So if this particular presentation isn't your cup of tea, but you like this, then you can go there and have a look and see what it looks and feels like. You know,
cool. I mean, when you did that to me and I thought of pineapple, that's about as close to real mind reading as you can get. Let's be honest.
Isn't that
like
fun?
I felt like I could have thought of anything. And yeah. It didn't feel like you were fishing for information at all. It didn't feel you were making statements. You were telling me everything. And then all of a sudden, I could have thought of millions of things. And you wrote down pineapple. That's incredible.
So in that performance specifically, and I'd love to talk about it because we literally did it, is that I did do a little bit of fishing.
Didn't but, feel like.
But, well, thank you. The fishing renders a reaction from the spectator. And the reaction from the spectator affirms what I know the outcome is, so I can use those two things in tandem. So the fact that I knew that this is something you could hold in your hand and I was throwing that out and you were agreeing, negated the other thing that I might have gone for. And at that point, once I know that it's the pineapple, let's just say, I can now start describing the relationships between that object and the word that you gave, which was nightmare, for example. So I can start to make it link up that it makes sense to you. And at that point, you're thinking, oh, my God, he's got it. He's got it. You know. So, yeah, there's so many ways of taking this. And I just love it so much. And thank you, obviously, for having this talk. I know we haven't finished, but I just want to thank
you. I'm blown away. What made you decide to go down the route of mentalism? Because let's be honest, up until this point, your magic was very, very visual. You look at stuff like level one, you look at stuff like very visual, very technical card magic. Did you wake up one day and go, I'm going to be a mentalist? Like, you've got people Michael Murray, who is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest living mentalists in the world today, going gargar over this.
He is amazing.
Just when you decide to, like, you know, take the card magic world by storm, you go, right, done that. What's next on my list? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be the top mentalist. Like, where did this come from?
It's weird. I think you can ask that question effectively if you separate the two things. But to me, it's all one thing. It's like, it's just the effect. It's just like, if I were to try and read a mind, what would the conditions be? Would I take out a piece of paper and say, look down this, pick a word? Or, you know, would I personally be the performer to do that? And I'm like, well, no, I would love to have the freedom of that. And then how do I get there? And so it's just looking at the effect and kind of working from that and making discoveries and then running with those discoveries and things like that. Same with the card magic and the visual stuff. It's all about just, how do I want this to look or feel? You know, and I think that's a good starting point. Rather than just saying, like, I'm a card magician and I'm going to create card magic and then sitting there with cards. It's not that. It's like looking at a plot and saying, oh, how can I approach this plot? And what would be the best way to kind of get rid of the kind of unclear aspects of the methods? You know, what method can I swap out to make it better? Mm. And or what method can I create to make it better? Mm. You know, so... Yeah. It's not necessarily about our switching from magic to mentalism. I've always loved mentalism, always. In fact, Derren Brown was my absolute inspiration of, you know, that whole TV series he brought out when I was a kid. That got me into doing magic in the first place. So it's literally like magic and mentalism are all one thing for me. And it all combines into the same thing, which is the love of it, you know.
That's amazing. I want to ask you a couple of questions that I know people are going to be asking. So first of all, it is an app.
Yes.
One of the reasons that a lot of people are shy about using apps is because of the fear that at some point the support for the app is going to go. Because we're all aware that apps constantly need to be improved. They need to be updated. And, you know, you talked about Illusionist earlier on. I think a lot of people became wary of apps when they do support for two of their most popular apps a couple of years ago. Can you put people's minds, I know how conscientious you are about customer service. I'm sure this is something that you've already got a plan for, but can I ask the question, what's the plan for?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is my baby and I am not going to let it die for as long as I can, obviously. I mean, naturally, I think the community is starting to realize that technological based effects like app effects do require support because essentially the platform is updated and there has to be different ways to circumvent bugs and things like that. So there has to be constant nurturing to keep it in a place that it has to be. And for that very reason, I'm working on additional functions and features to add to this tool. You have to imagine this as a Swiss Army knife. So it's not one thing. Like I said earlier, it's multifaceted. There's loads of techniques built within the app that you can learn and you can use depending on what outcomes you have and depending on what's the quickest way to get from that to the word they're thinking of. So I've created other systems that allow you to do that I'm going to be adding into Enigma. But this is going to be coming much later because I'm up until this point, I've invested in the app that I'm releasing and anything now going forwards is additional investment that I'm doing, so additional cost. So this is something much, much later. I will offer these additional features to pro users of the app. And pro users will be, like I say, down the road. It will be something that people can choose whether they want to opt in or out of. So it's what you get here is a complete system that allows someone to think of a word and you to decipher that word. And in the future, there'll be different things added that will allow for greater opportunities, you know, and I won't mention them now because I don't want to kind of, but there's so much planned. I have integrations planned with some of the best apps, other apps that people will be familiar with and already know. And the integrations are so beautiful and we're working on them hard now. So I've got a lot planned for this and it's not going to stop here. This is not a come and go trick. This is going to be something that will set the bar for this type of mind reading.
Wow. And yeah. And one other question.
Yes.
I could see this being the sort of thing that people would want to perform on TV if they get a chance to be on a TV spot or a talent show or something. Are TV rights reserved or?
So upon the purchase of the app, there are terms and conditions and it explains and outlines that I retain the rights for the television.
Okay.
Television rights. But having said that, there's a contact number there, and you know that I've already had people approach me, say, can I do this in this show, can we do this? And I think it's just a common decency thing. If people reach out to me and I can help them with, you know, any aspect of whatever the performance is that they want to do, and as long as I mean my main goal, the reason I included that was just to preserve it being performed as it should be performed.
You don't want someone to go on a huge show and mess it up and
anyone can take a really good trick and perform it badly. And so for me, it's just an extra layer to be able to safeguard the beauty of this thing and not for it to end up on TikTok, you know, exposed by someone. I want this thing to be so special and I want the longevity of it to exist and I want people to understand the value of it. And there's always going to be people that disagree and think, oh, I'd rather have someone write something down. That's their compromise and that's fine. But the beauty of this is that it's a thought of word that you're able to decipher with literally the power of interaction and this tool as well. And it's like 90% of the effect happens between you and them. And then the last leg where we effectively tell them the word they're thinking of is where the secret method happens. So it doesn't, you know, All I'm saying with the TV right stuff is that if someone wants to perform it on TV, to contact me and to make sure it's done properly, and that's I'm happy. And that goes for all the people who have invested in this system. It should be represented respectfully, I think, in the community. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you've talked about Enigma and that you're planning on growing it and there's going to be more aspects to it moving forward. One more question, which is, do you have the other projects that you're working on as well, or is all of your focus currently on Enigma? Like, are we going to be seeing more card material from you in the future? Are we going to be seeing other releases, or are you kind of all in when it comes to Enigma right now, and that's where your focus is?
So card magic is something I love and will always love, and I'm continuing to produce card magic for Magic Monthly, my membership. So that's something that's absolutely going to continue. Yes, my focus is on Enigma at the moment because I want everything to go smoothly with the launch. But having said that, I'm working on three other apps. In fact, I've developed and finished one other app, not the one I described, by the way. But that's something that I will be looking to release next. I'm working on a series of booklets as well, which encompass mentalism and card magic and things like that. So I've got my fingers in different pies and I'm just keeping it going. But the main thing is to enjoy the process and have some fun on the way. So
you're so creative. You're so ridiculously, annoyingly creative and such a nice guy with it as well. It's very frustrating.
No, it's frustrating. That's funny. You're so funny. I mean, it's like you're really amazing, but you know, it's annoying. It's like, oh dear. Well, we can only do what we love and we can only do it to the best of our ability. There are people who will understand that and there's some kind of form of connection that you can have with people in the community. There are sadly people that won't understand that and will never buy into it or whatever you call it. And that's just the way the world is. But I love magic so much and I just want to bring people on my journey. So thanks to you spotlighting it as well.
You're more than welcome. I got one other question.
Yeah, you can ask as many as you want.
I got one other question about Enigma. So there's all these different methods that you built in, and more methods are going to be added. And initially it was just this one thing, and now it's all of this and this and this and so many.
It's not overwhelming.
So what I wanted to ask.
Okay.
Like, what's the accessibility of it?
Yes.
Like, so I buy it, I download it. How much effort am I going to have to put into to be able to do an approximation of what you just did to me?
Okay. So the main system is one thing that exists. It's solid. So that can be learned easily in an hour, less than an hour. The actual crux of the method can be learned very quickly because it's a set of rules that you follow. And at most, the best way to describe it without delving too much into method is if someone can remember a 4-digit number, like a PIN number, then you can perform this effect. That's the crux of it. It's as simple as that. Okay. In terms of performing, getting comfortable at performing, of course, that will take more time. So it's just a case of practicing and performing it to actually get better at it. I hope that answers the question effectively.
Oh, it does. Yeah,
this is not a trick. If people are looking for a trick they want to buy and perform the next day at a wedding or whatever, this is not the trick for you at all. And I'd rather, if that's your expectation, I'd rather you don't buy it, sort of thing. If you want to learn a new system that's not actually that hard to learn, right? And you want to work at it to get to a point where is a couple of weeks down the line, you want to start performing it effectively, then this is the system for you. And it's a long-term thing. You know, it's like anagrams. I don't know if anyone here knows about progressive anagrams, but that's a different method of deciphering thought of words from a limited group of words, right? And you're throwing out letters verbally and getting yeses and nos, a bit like 20 questions. If you do it well, though, it kind of gets to the word, and then you can reveal it. But you look at that process, and it requires a lot of memory work, and it requires a lot of time and effort to respond in real time. Yeah. I've removed all that with Enigma. So you essentially are turning their thought of words secretly into a number, and you're secretly using that number in various different ways to peak information on what they're thinking. In the performance I did on you, it was hands-free, so I'm using my voice, and I'm literally glancing at what looks like a home screen, a fake home screen, to see what I need to see. Whereas I have presentations where you can Google search the image at the end. And so for that, you would preface the routine and say, look, in a moment, I'm going to search for an image of something I think you're about to think of. But this isn't a case of me searching for something and you trying to guess what I've gone for. You're about to think of anything, and I'm genuinely going to try and tap into your thoughts. So now you go through the process, which feels totally non-technological. And then at the very end, you say, you know, I think I know what this thing is. And in the last second, when you open the phone and unlock it, that's when you go into the last leg, which will render the result. And of course, that's when you can show people the Google search and hand it to the person. I mean, you'll see in the trailer, the end of the performance is you Google search something, they're holding the phone. And I say, don't even mention what you're thinking about loud, but I want you to turn the phone towards yourself and tell me if I'm close. And they have that moment. So for those of the performances that you see when someone's holding the phone, it's because of the Google revelation. But that's not the only way you can perform it. I'm just to be clear. So the main crux of the method is secretly turning a word into a number. And of course, there's different ways to input that and render the results. Kind of tapped on method here, because I know that people watching this are magicians. So I know that I'm, you know, without giving too much away, at least people need to know what it is that they're getting. And, you know,
yeah.
So hopefully I've been clear enough for them to understand that. And
yeah. So the bottom line is, if they, but obviously then it's like any trick, the more you practice, more you're going to be better at it, right? I mean, obviously the first time you created this, you weren't as good as you are now because you've had all that experience. Same sort of thing.
Yeah. The important thing is, just one last thing I want to say is, I have been performing this for a year, and the more, I mean, naturally by doing it, you tend to start remembering the information. Like, you remember what numbers equal certain words. So just shy of 50% of the time when I do this hand touching method that I teach on the project, I do it completely without the app. So, and that's, I in the trailer, you'll see many instances where I reveal the words on the hands, and all of those instances are from memory, because, and I haven't chosen to memorize it. I've just happened to know that if someone's thinking of a hammer, they could also think of a helmet, a laptop, a wallet. And when you're in that realm, you can then navigate that verbally. So just by performing this, you will get to learn it. And over time, you'll be doing it what seems like propless mentalism, but you'll have the app there the whole time as a backup if you need it. So just for those that are interested in committing things to memory or performing it completely with nothing, it can be done. And it's something that you naturally will start learning just by accident. Like, I never set out to memorize these things, but once you're in a certain outcome, you start to just associate things. You know, I'll just give you one last example, just to be upfront. Let's say, you know, they're thinking, so I performed this on Nick Mohammed, and in my mind, I had like a kettle, a marble, a handle, or a Kindle. And from those, literally for at that point in the presentation, I just throw out a couple of verbal lines to do with energy, and I can decipher what that thing is from that point. And all of these tools I teach in great detail on the project. So this isn't just kind of one thing. It's kind of encompasses a lot of the way that I'm approaching the effect and thinking about how it's presented and how it works and things like that. So I just want people to know that I've put a lot of love into this, and people will recognize that when they invest in it.
That's amazing. And one last question that I know has been brought up on the Magic Cafe.
Okay.
No, it's not a bad question.
No, it's just that place is so horrible.
Why is Christian such a tool? No, it's like, the question is, is there a possibility that it could ever go wrong?
Yes, absolutely. But I've built fallback mode for those instances.
So even if it all went completely wrong.
I answered that question wrong. No is the upright answer, because there's a way of ending the performance successfully. But what you were referring to is the main crux is it, could it go wrong? Well, yes, of course, because for example, you might have a spectator who can't spell, you know, and you'll know that the crux or the core method won't work in that situation. So you'll have to adapt by using a different mode called fallback mode to perform to that person. But no, it can't go wrong in that sense. The way I like to perform it, which is with this method where they visualize letters or the hand touching method, requires the spectator to spell. And so it's entirely down to that. So what's important is people understand that it's a very reliable system. But if there are instances that where you pick up that the spectator can't spell or they feel uncomfortable, you have this thing to fall back on.
Yeah.
Any trick can go wrong. So from an audience point of view, it looks the same. And so it feels like nothing goes wrong. From my purest heart point of view, obviously, I always want it to look and feel like it did when I performed it on you just then. And that's why I say things like, do you feel comfortable spelling? I ask that question because I want to know whether I'm going to come into trouble and how I need to perform this, you know? So I mention all these things in the tutorial. You're not going to want to perform on really drunk people who aren't paying attention. This is not the right effect to perform on those people. So you can safeguard the trick going wrong just by picking someone who feels comfortable spelling, making sure it's that they're not distracted and you have 2 or 3 minutes with them at least. And then, of course, you can perform the effect. And yeah, it's very reliable. And I come from a place of performing this literally back to back at conventions. 4F convention, Session convention, Blackpool. Where was I recently? Oh, Magic Live. Relentless back to back performances. I performed on Copperfield, Chris Angel, Chris Kenner, DMC, Greg Wilson, Eric Mead. All of these beautiful, amazing magicians that I admire came up and wanted me to perform on them. And I did, you know, every single time. And with no worry that it wouldn't work, because, of course, I've built the fail safes for it to always work. And of course, hence they offered to give quotes after, which was great. But yeah, so I hope I've answered that question.
Yeah, no, you have. Yeah. And I knew that you'd have built something in place. And that's amazing. But I suppose the biggest piece of advice you can get is just audience management. Pick the right person and have the right environment.
Yeah, this piece of magic, the best case scenario is one where you know the person feels comfortable spelling because you know they'll understand your instructions. And it's as simple as that, you know? And the important thing is that I've accounted for the situations where someone can't, purely through working it solidly, you know, all the time. So
it's brilliant.
It is. I am so proud of this more than any other creation to date that I've released. I'm the most proud of this. And the reason is I know where other people will take it. I know it's just going to be something really special that we can all enjoy. And refine together. So
it's amazing. That's absolutely fantastic. So I'll be reviewing it soon. But in the meantime, this is going up on Saturday. It's launching on Monday. And the only place that you can get it is directly from your website, right?
Yes. So it will have already been launched because we're launching it today and you're showing. But it's www.enigmaofthemind.com.
Got it.
And yeah. I mean, if you want to check it out,
there's on there.
Yeah,
trailer,
everything's there, and you can only buy it through that website. So that's literally exclusively where you can purchase it if you're interested, or if you want to learn more about it. There's obviously lots of information, like an FAQ on the page and things like that. So yeah, that's it.
Christian, congratulations once again on a huge hit, taking the mentalism world by storm, having some incredible quotes from some of the best mentalists in the world, best magicians in the world. Thank you. Must be so proud. And
I'm truly proud. I really am. It's been amazing. And I can't wait for tonight. I've put on my best shirt just to have some, you know what I mean? I'm going to go out, have a drink and pray to the universe that people love it as much as me.
They will. I'm sure they will. That pineapple thing, that was amazing. I'm still blown away by that.
Thank you.
That was so good.
Isn't that fun? Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. This is going to be, I think you've just created trick of the year. I don't think anything's going to come close.
I'd be blessed if that's the case, but thank you.
I think you nailed it.
Legend.
Christian, one more time, thank you so much. I will be reviewing this soon, but just that the performance there speaks for itself. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me on, and love to all your subscribers.
Awesome. Guys, do me a favor. If you watch this, leave a comment down below and let Christian know what you think. I'm sure he's going to read it. Go check out the website. Go check out the trailer. Go check out the performances. Go and buy it. I'll be reviewing it soon, so you can go check out that review when it goes live. But thank you very much for joining me on Magic TV. And on behalf of Christian, man, you are the man. You really are.
You're very sweet, Craig. Thank you for having me on. And I hope to see you in person soon.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll see you again soon. Guys, thanks very much. I'll see you again soon as well. My name's Craig. This is Christian. This was Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV. Or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.